Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
But if you got a copy of the scriptures with you, if you got a Bible or a Bible app, turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, first book in the New Testament, and we're going to start in verse 18 and go all the way through verse 23. This will be our main text, and then we'll get to another place here in a little bit. If you're brand new and you're like, I didn't think to bring a Bible or I don't own a Bible, that's okay. The words will be on the screen, in the room, and online as well. But Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. Now this is, especially if you're familiar with church or the Bible, this is a very familiar passage, but I'm believing that God's going to help you see it and read it here in a moment with fresh eyes and fresh perspective. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18, I'm going to read out the NIV, New International Version. Here's what it says. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Somebody shout, that's not normal. Like, that's not normal. All right, let's keep going here. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. He was a good guy. And yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord. The angels are God's messengers. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Verse 23 is where the Bible quotes itself. This is a quote from the Old Testament. Verse 23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Why don't you bow your heads with me and let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much and so grateful for what you've already done today. Man, it's been awesome having fun in your house. And God, you did such a great work in first service, and I already sense you doing a great work in this service as well. And so I pray for the first timer, I pray for those that have been here a long time and those that are maybe just been here the last few weeks. I pray for all of us, God, that you would move in a powerful way in our lives personally. And I pray even with this familiar text that you would show us new, or maybe for some you would reteach us some things to help us get everything we can out of this passage. We believe, God, that this is a true story, not a made-up story. And so as we look to the true story, the first Christmas, I pray we would learn and we would grow and that you would do a wonderful work. And I pray, God, just like in last service, I pray in this service, if there's anybody listening, anybody watching online that's far from you, I pray today would be their day of salvation, that today they would put their hope and trust and belief in you, Jesus. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church said, amen. For those that are brand new, we've been in a series all month long this month of December called Missing Peace. And here's what I know as a pastor, I've been doing this for over a decade now, is that a lot of people, we pack all of these things into our calendar. We got events and Christmas parties, and a lot of us, we spend way too much on gifts and presents for kids or grandkids. In the middle of it all, oftentimes we still are lacking peace in our lives. There's almost like a puzzle that makes up our heart, and there's that one missing piece to the puzzle, and all the events and all the activities, they ain't working. They're not fitting that one spot that we still feel empty on the inside. And so we've been trying in this series in this month to rediscover peace, to rediscover, even if your life is not going the way that you planned it, that you can still have peace in God. And today, as we look at the first Christmas story in Matthew chapter 1, I want us to look at Mary and Joseph. And the reason why is because everything we just read and all the stuff that was happening around them, they had every opportunity to lack peace. Like y'all remember what we just read. That's not normal. There's some crazy stuff happening in this story, and they had every opportunity to be missing peace. For example, and we do this every single week. If you're brand new, I'll kind of help you out here. We don't just read the Bible here. Like we want to apply the Bible to our lives. And so ladies in the room, ladies online, pretend you're Mary in this story for a moment. Like, can you imagine? Mary is a young woman. Some people think she was maybe even as young as 14 years old. She's a young woman, and she's excited because she's engaged to the man of her dreams. And Joseph was a man's man. He wasn't stuck at some, you know, like little just doing some foo-foo job. No, no, no. He worked with his hands. He was a carpenter. So Mary's got her an incredible man. Looking good, has a good job. How many of y'all know that's just like where you need to start, right? I need a man with a job. That's where you start. So Mary's got that. She's excited. Again, she's engaged, and they're planning the wedding. I mean, she's picking out wedding colors. They're getting ready to send out wedding invitations. She's probably upset at Joseph because he had one job to pick the DJ, and he's probably late on that job, you know? Like, all this stuff is going on. She's excited, and she should be. And then all of a sudden, she finds out that she's pregnant, and she finds out that that baby, Mary, did you know, right? That baby, there's a reason why I'm not on the worship team. Y'all caught that real quick. But that baby is going to be Jesus, the Messiah. I don't think y'all are tracking with me yet. Mary's got to raise God. And you thought your kids were hard to parent. She's got to raise God. She has every reason to lack peace. Guys, you're Joseph for the next couple moments. Can you imagine being Joseph? You're engaged to the woman of your dreams, Mary. Incredible heart, incredible attitude, and you've been a good guy. You do the right things. You say the right things. You're excited to be married. You're so looking forward to it. And then all of a sudden, it's date night, right? And you're there with Mary, and she drops this nuclear bomb on your lap that she's pregnant. And you know that you haven't been with her. I'm trying to keep this Christmas message PG, okay? Don't need any emails from you this week, all right? But he hadn't been with her. And so Joseph's like, excuse me, who's the father? And Mary's like, God is the father. Like, how many of y'all know Joseph's probably thinking, we need to go on one of those television shows like Mari, you know, back in the day. Who's the father? Come on down, right? Like, can you just imagine, guys? Like, Joseph obviously doesn't believe her, and we can't feel bad or say we would do it differently. Guys, you know you would do the same thing. And so Joseph chooses, based according to the law, he could have had Mary killed, by the way. But Joseph chooses not to do that. Instead, he's going to end the engagement quietly, but God sends an angel. Why did he send an angel? Because that's what it would have taken for Joseph to believe Mary's story. And so God sends an angel to Joseph. Hey, don't divorce her. She's telling the truth. And all of a sudden, Joseph's here, and he's got to be the father, the stepfather of Jesus. What are you saying, Pastor? Joseph had every reason to lack peace. But not just Mary. And not just Joseph. We're going to go deeper than maybe you thought we were going to go this morning for this Christmas message. Not only did Mary and Joseph have every reason to lack peace, God's people, all of them, had every reason to lack peace. Here's what I mean. Remember the last verse we read together, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23? That is a quote from the Old Testament, like I told you. And it's actually a quote from the prophet Isaiah, written 700 years before Jesus was born, 700 years before the Messiah would come, and it was a prophecy, a prediction saying that there will be a child, he will be the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And so God's people had this prophecy that the Messiah is coming, he's gonna save the world. But then 700 years go by, and there is still a gap between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. How many of you know that's a really, really, did I say really, long time to wait? 7 centuries. And so all of God's people had every reason to lack peace because they had this epic promise from Isaiah and many other prophets, by the way. But yet people in their families, grandparents, great-grandparents who knew Isaiah, they lived their entire lives waiting on the Messiah, and yet they would die without the prophecy of the coming Messiah being fulfilled. God's people had every reason to lack peace. And if we can be honest this morning, I hope you will be. This is a safe place to be honest before God. I'm probably way too honest as a pastor of this church. I'm not trying to be perfect or pretend I'm perfect. I'm definitely not. But let's be honest. Like some of us, and I'll just speak for me, I struggle waiting in line at the fast food Chick-fil-A, you know, down the street. Like that's hard. For me, 2 minutes on the microwave is too long to wait. And anybody remember dial-up internet from back in the day? You know, that kind of deal. Anybody remember that? Nobody? Okay, a few of you? You can play along in service. It's a lot more fun if you participate, okay? But like I don't like to wait. I hate waiting. And I can't even imagine waiting centuries. Bloodline, your family, your grandfather, great-grandfather, believing something. And then they passing away before the promise is fulfilled. That is a long, long time to wait. Waiting is so difficult, especially when you're waiting on God. And that will preach right there, because that hits somebody right in the soul, just like it's hit me all week long. Because when you're waiting on God, it's difficult. It's not easy. And I know there's so many of you here in this room, so many watching online, that you're in that exact place. You're waiting on God. You're waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. Some of you, you're waiting on a child. Others of you, you're waiting on a promotion that's long overdue. You're waiting on that raise that was promised to you by your crazy boss before the pandemic. Some of you are waiting on a healing. Waiting on God to heal your body, to heal your mind, to heal you of depression. Some of you, you're waiting on a relationship to be restored. Some of you, you're waiting on a child, a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter who should know better to come back on home to faith in Jesus. How many of you know it is hard to wait on God? You got this promise and you're like, God, what's happening? What's going on? So the question of the day is this. What do you do when you're waiting on God? I'll say it to you a better way. Ask it to you, from you. Ask to from. Oh, I'm just going to ask you a question here. The better way to say it is this. How do you wait on God when God is giving you the silent treatment? God, where are you? God, what are you doing? What are you saying? I thought it would go differently than this. Like, I don't know about you, but I've given God lots of suggestions over the years of how he should show up and when he should show up. Has anybody ever given God suggestions like that before? God, it'd be really great if you did it this way, if it happened this way, if it happened according to my Apple Watch, my iCal. It'd be really, really great if you did it in a certain kind of way. But God doesn't usually follow our schedule. Now, getting back to the biblical text and the narrative, not just Mary and Joseph, but all of God's people. Not only did they wait 700 years, 7 centuries between the original promise and the promise fulfilled in Jesus, but 400, we're going deep today, 400 of those 700 years, there was silence from God. You see, the first 300 of the 700 years, God was still speaking. We still have scripture. We still have books and prophecies in the Old Testament. But when you get to Malachi ending, which is the last book in the Old Testament, and you go from Malachi to Matthew, the book we read from moments ago in the first book in the New Testament, there is a span of 400 years where God is silent. Where they're not hearing anything. In fact, if you're a note taker, we believe around here you're a history maker. That span of time from the end of Malachi to the beginning of Matthew is called the intertestamental period. And it's that 400-year gap of silence where there was nothing that they were getting from God when it comes to Scripture. So not only were God's people waiting 700 years, but 400 of those years were filled with silence. And so again, what do you do when it seems like God has given you the silent treatment? What do you do when you're not hearing anything? Well, I'm so thankful that God gives us answers. I'm so thankful that now looking back on what happened, we can see what was taking place behind the scenes. If you're really quick, I want to take you to a supplemental text in the New Testament. It's the book of Galatians. If you don't have time to turn there, or you're just getting affiliated, you know, familiar with your Bible, it will be on the screen. But Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, I'll just go two verses through verse 5. God gives us an answer of what was happening behind the scenes. And I'm going to read this one out of the New Living Translation, these verses. You're going to help me preach the rest of this message, so get ready to participate. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, here's the answer. But when the right time came, somebody shout right time. When the right time, some of your translations say it this way, when the perfect time, when the right time, the perfect time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I hope you caught this morning, because this is incredible news. Like, this is a passage that is so epic, so powerful, and it's going to help a lot of people today. You see, when you're waiting, God, where are you? Why are you giving me the silent treatment? When you're waiting, you've got to understand, church, soul level. When you're waiting, God is working. I don't think you caught it all the way. I'm going to say it again until somebody shouts me an amen. When you're waiting, God is working. When you're like, God, where are you? What's going on? God is working behind the scenes. He's never left you, and he's not about to start now. When you're waiting, God is working. I love what it says here. When the right time, the perfect time, God's time, when the right time came, God sent his son. When you're waiting, God is working. How many of y'all know God is never early, right? Like I've never heard a Christian, I've been a Christian for a whole bunch of years, I've never heard a Christian say, you know what, God did that a lot faster than I thought he would. Like, let's just be honest. God is never early, but you also need to know this truth. God is also never late. He's never early. Now he's maybe late according to your timetable. I get that. But according to his time, which is the perfect time, which is the right time, God is never early, but he's also never late. God says, when the right time came, I'm going to send my son. When that perfect time comes, I'm going to send my son. And I came here to encourage someone in the waiting. God is working. And just because God seems silent, it doesn't mean God is absent. God is all about the perfect time. Now, I know some of you are thinking, okay, Pastor, I get it. But like, what was God doing? You're saying he's working for 400 years. That, yeah, he's silent from that vantage point, but he's working behind the scenes. I know what you're thinking. Well, what was he doing? What was taking place while God's people were waiting? And I could give you a lot of things, but for time's sake, I want to give you two. And again, we're going deep this morning, so you hang with me. But here's two things, and you can check the history on this. This is historical fact. Two things that God was doing during the 400 years of silence. Two things that history tells us God was doing during those 400 years. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, write this down. Even if you're not taking notes, you should consider writing this down. Number one is this. The Old Testament was being translated into Greek, the common language of the day. And this is big. This was huge. This is, as Buddy the Elf would say, this is ginormous, all right? And so before this had taken place, there was a lot of people that could not read the Old Testament, the original language that it was in. But during the time of Jesus, and even leading up to the time of Jesus here on earth, most people around that area at least spoke a little bit of Greek. And so during those 400 years of waiting, God was working, and what he was working on was getting the Old Testament translated into a common language where you didn't have to rely on some priest or some guy that you hardly know, but that you could even read the scriptures for yourself. And I think we all realized how important that was, right? That's not what somebody tells me about scripture. I can read the scripture for myself. And so check this out. God was working while they were waiting, and he was making sure that his people, God's people, could read about Jesus, could see the prophecies about the Virgin Mary, and see the prophecies about where Jesus would be born and what it would look like and what he would say. And I mean, y'all should look. It's incredible how specific the prophecies are hundreds of years before Jesus was born. But God made sure that his people could read all of those passages for themselves to know what Jesus would look like, to know how Jesus would operate. God was working behind the scenes while they were waiting, making sure it was translated into the common language of the day in that region. And I forgot to mention this for those that are going to look this up later. This happened around 280 BC or so. This was big. Here's the second thing. I could give you a list of at least seven things, but here's the second thing for today's purpose. The second big thing that was happening, God was working while they were waiting. Number two, the Romans conquered the Greeks and they developed roads and highways. This was big as well. You see, during this time period where the Romans were building these roads and these highways and all of that, it was a time of peace like there hadn't been for a long time. And so because of that, the Romans were able to make it easier to get from city to city, which as you can imagine is pretty critical because y'all remember, right? This is pre-internet, right? Like how many of y'all know, like our kids and maybe your grandkids, they do not know of a world without the internet. That's crazy, right? Like something can happen in this service, you know, like I can trip and fall on my face and somebody records it and then it's like instantly becomes viral. You know, there's people like in Asia that are, oh, look at that goofy pastor, you know, falling down. Like, right, that's the world we live in. Like news can travel like that. But this is pre-internet. Like Al Gore had not invented it yet, you know? Like this is pre, like no AOL. Some of y'all remember AOL Instant Messenger too, you know, all that kind of stuff. But like, this is pre all of that. There's no email. And so this was critical for God while they were waiting. He was working. Because not only did they need the roads and the highways and all of that to get from town to town easier, not only would it help Jesus, but it would help the church grow. So people like the Apostle Paul, y'all catching this? This is big. Help people like the Apostle Paul, Peter, some of the disciples, all these incredible churches. Like what happened with Jesus has now spread to the entire world, and it all happened before the internet. And so this was critical. And God said, I know you're waiting. 7 centuries in total, but specifically those 4 centuries of silence. I know you're waiting, but God's like, I am working. I'm getting things ready. He was preparing his people. And then God says, at the right time, somebody shout right time. At the right time, the perfect time, God says, they're ready. And God sends his son. And the world changes. The world changes overnight. I hope you're getting fresh revelation today. You see, we can all learn to trust God in the waiting when we realize that God is working. Like, come on, Christ Covenant. God doesn't just want to do something for you. God wants to also do something in you. And some of you are like, why don't I have it now? Why have I been waiting for this? What's going on? And for some of you, God's saying, you're not ready. God doesn't want to just give you stuff. He doesn't want to just do something for you. He wants to do something in you. He's getting things ready. He's getting you ready. God's timing is perfect. I was thinking about this and praying about this last week, and we could all tell story after story, looking back on, because sometimes you can't see it in the middle of it, but looking back on a situation where we were waiting, but God was working. And I just want to share three with you real quick. We could all share different moments, but I really think this is going to help somebody. Again, I don't want to be that perfect pastor that pretends like I got it all together. There's no masks allowed here. You can wear your COVID mask. That's cool. I'm talking about the fake facade that we put up sometimes. And so I just want to pull off the mask and just be honest with you. There's three things I thought of just right away where I was waiting, but God was working. And looking back on it now, I can see his hand. I can see him moving. A lot of you know that my family and I, we got to Christ Covenant. We got to Houston here 4 years ago. A lot of you know that. But what many of you don't know is that we had about a year or more of waiting before we came here. A year plus of waiting. That's my first time being a senior pastor. But in Dallas, North Dallas, where I'm from, I was one of the executive pastors. And so over a year before we came here, I went to my senior pastor, Pastor Chris Lindberg, and I said, Pastor, I've been praying about this, thinking about this for a long time. I feel like God is saying now is the time to step in to that senior pastor role somewhere. But that's what I think. What do you think? So I'm submitted, you know, like, what do you think? And he said, Ryan, no, I agree with you. I've seen this in you from the beginning. It's time. And so he released me discreetly behind the scenes to begin to look for opportunities. And really, we looked all around the country. And so we're looking for over a year. And there was a lot of silence. I wish I could tell you, man, I had all these people trying to get me. You know, that's not what happened at all. Not at all. Like literally in that year, we had months of silence. You know, like I got my resume out there and we're praying, we're fasting, talking to different people discreetly and just shut door after shut door after shut door. And if I was honest with you, and I'm going to be honest, there was moments where I'm like, God, what's going on here? Like, I thought this was the time. My spiritual authority said, it's the time. Like, what's going on? We kept believing. We kept trusting. And at the right time, the perfect time, God opened up the door to Christ's covenant. Here's what God was doing. I can see it now looking back. We knew zero people before we came to Houston 4 years ago. Zero. Like, and so there was no way that I could get to you or that you would know about me. So God had to work behind the scenes to connect the dots. I'm telling you, friend, I was waiting. We, my wife and I, our family, we were waiting. But God was working. Another example I thought of just instantly is we have three kids. Luke is our oldest. He's one of the six kids that were up here earlier. My wife, she got pregnant right away with Luke after we got married, just a few weeks in, a month in or so. And so we just thought, man, like this is easy. No big deal. And after we had Luke, we went through years where we could not have another kid. Like years. And even in the middle of that, and a lot of you know this story, but in the middle of that, we had a devastating miscarriage. Which people don't talk about that in church, but it's happened to far too many couples. So here we are, and we're waiting, right, babe? We're waiting for a long time. Like, God, what's going on? We had Luke right away, our oldest. What's happening? You've been through a miscarriage, and just statistics tell us that odds are many of you have. It's devastating. It's like, God, what's going on? We're going to trust you. It's not easy, but we're going to trust you. But looking back on it now, here's what God was doing. You see, God was doing a work in us, my wife and I. In fact, I'll never forget it, but we went through the devastating miscarriages before we got here to Christ's covenant. We spent time with praying, seeking counsel. We weren't telling everybody at that, you know, first moment. We had key people. And my wife, Isabel, you went to a pastor's wife's, like, dinner kind of thing there. the pastor's wives on staff there in Dallas would get together every month or so, maybe every quarter. And Isabel, my wife, she goes to this meeting, and she's broken. I'm broken too, but she's there. And God just showed up in the middle of that dinner. And the different pastor wives, they put their hands on Isabel. We believe in that, by the way, here at this church. We believe in prayer, that God does miracles. Can I get a good amen from somebody? Like, we just believe that. Maybe it makes you uncomfortable based on your background, but we just believe that the Bible, I mean, it says it, so we're going to do it. But they lay hands on my wife, Isabel. And God just begins to move in that moment. And really, God does a miracle. One of the pastor's wives even just speaks a word over my wife, Isabel. And it's just so incredible what God does. And so she has this holy moment, my wife does. In the middle of that, we're about to come to Christ's covenant. And after that prayer time, 1 month later, she gets pregnant with our second child, Nora, who's just turned 4 years old. But not only that, my wife, right before we get to Christ's covenant 4 years ago, hope you're tracking with me here, she ends up being 9 months pregnant, and we end up having our middle child our third Sunday here in Houston. So I think that's pretty cool, because two of our three kids don't even know about Dallas. They are Houstonians, y'all. This is all they know. But you see, looking back on it, I can see it was the perfect time. It was the right time. Doesn't mean it's easy to wait. It's not easy. But while we're waiting, God is working. He's doing a great work. I'll give you one more and then we'll close. A lot of you know about our youngest daughter. Like I said, we've got three. Our youngest daughter's name is Lucy. She'll be two this upcoming May. And Lucy, once she turned one, she was still not crawling, traditionally at least, and not walking. And if you got kids, you know that it should have happened by then. And so there was some developmental things that were going on physically with her. So here we are at a year, and all she's doing, in fact, it was really cute, but she learned to scoot on her butt. So some of us called her Scooter, just playfully, you know? And that girl had legs of steel, right? Like, she was fast. Some of our nursery volunteers know, like she could move. She was fast. But she wasn't crawling traditionally on her hands and her knees, and she wasn't walking. And so we had to see doctors, and she was doing physical therapy, and it was tough. So again, it's like, God, what's going on? What's happening? We're waiting. Looking back now, I can see while we were waiting, God was working, because here's what happened. I think she had just turned a year at this point or so, and we had an encounter night service, which we're going to have another one the fifth Sunday in January. Just a night of worship. Happens in this room, and we're seeking God as a church. I mean, it's powerful. I mean, God's just moving. And all of a sudden, one of our elders, Greg, and his wife, Lori, they were sitting right here in first service. They're one of our prayer teams at the front, and they motioned for my wife, Isabel, to come on down. It's not planned or anything like that. The worship team is leading. And again, what do? They lay hands on her because they know what's going on. They know the struggle. What should be happening is not happening. We're trusting God, but it's not easy to wait. They lay hands on my wife, Isabel, and God is moving. And I can see it. I'm standing right up here. I can see what God's doing. It's powerful. It's awesome. While we're waiting, God is working. And just a couple of days later, after they lay hands on my wife, Lucy, our youngest, she starts to walk. While we were waiting, God was working. So I came here today to encourage somebody that even though you can't see it, even though you can't understand it, God is moving in your life. He hasn't left you. He's not doing it according to your schedule. It's not early, but he's also not going to be late. God's timing is perfect. And once he comes through, you'll be able to look back on it and say, God, I see now how you were working while we were waiting. Now, spoiler, like, disclaimer, it's probably not going to look like you thought it would look, because God's ways are better than our ways, and his thoughts, like, can anybody testify this morning, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God knows best. He's working while you're waiting. Would you bow your heads with me, close your eyes all across this house? Lord, I sense you moving in this service. I'm so grateful for what you're doing. It's very evident. And so I pray right now for my friends that are waiting. And nobody has to identify what they're waiting on. They knew it right away when they saw where I was going this morning. God, I pray for fresh revelation, soul level, that they would know that while they're waiting, you are working. You haven't left them. You're not about to start now. You are with them. You'll never forsake them. You'll never turn your back on them. You're going to come through. It's not an if, it's a when. And at the right time, God's speaking to somebody right now. At the right time, at the perfect time, it's going to happen. It may look different, but God, we trust, and it takes belief that your ways are better than our ways and your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know best. The perfect time, the right time, you sent your son, and at the perfect time, the right time, you're going to come through. What do you do when God seems silent? You keep trusting in the waiting because you know soul level that God is working. We believe it. We believe it. You're getting things ready. And for some people, you're getting them ready before the promise is fulfilled. Come on, close your eyes with me in this room. Close your eyes if you're able to safely online. God, I pray for anybody that's far from you. I pray, God, for anybody who's been doing life on their own, who has never surrendered their life to you, made you their personal Lord and Savior. I pray for them right now that today would be their day. In fact, Holy Spirit, you orchestrated this whole service and all the planning and everything that happened. You moved everything towards this holy moment where every single person listening would have an opportunity to choose you or not choose you. And so I pray if there's anybody, and there probably is at least a handful, but if there's anybody that's far from you, I pray they would choose you. God, they couldn't get to you, so you came to them. Emmanuel, God with us. You sent your son Jesus at the perfect time to purchase our freedom. What a high price you paid for them. What was the price, Pastor? The price was this. Jesus gave his life. He gave it all for you. He died on the cross so that you could be forgiven of your sins. Jesus, I pray for anybody who's never accepted you. I pray today would be their day. In fact, this is what you can do. Keep your eyes closed. I just want to coach you for a moment. I'm here to help you. But here in this moment, you can whisper to God. You can talk to God. He hears you. He knows you. He loves you. And I'm going to coach you on what you can say, but the Bible's very clear. It's all about the intent of your heart. He knows your intentions. But you can whisper this to Jesus. It's so important that you do if you want to commit your life to him. You can whisper this. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my past. I give you my present. And I also give you my future. Jesus, I believe. Come on, you can whisper to him. Don't have to make a big scene, just you and God right now. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross. Jesus, I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. So important that you ask him that. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to make me new, to save me, restore me, to make me whole again. I got that puzzle in my heart and there's that missing piece. And Jesus, I realize that you are the missing piece. Come on in. I make you my Lord, my Savior, my God. Help me, Jesus, to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you for changing me. Oh God, what an awesome moment this is. Thank you for those that are surrendering their life to you. Jesus, it's all about you. We give you glory. And we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ, or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at ChristCove.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at ChristCove Houston.